Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carl Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah this morning, Father. Hallelujah this morning, Son. Hallelujah this morning, Holy Spirit. God, we worship you this morning in the beauty, oh God, of holiness. We worship you and we adore you this morning, God, because of who you are. And we say thank you this morning, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let the people of God rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. God, we reach up and we reach out in the Spirit because of the people right now, God, because they need you to move in this earth, because they need you, God, to come forth and to go forth. As you have sent us into all the earth to preach your gospel, we need your Spirit to go forward and go forth, God, and to lead us and to guide us, God. And that everything we do be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. That everything we ponder be pondered in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what excuses man is looking for, no matter what things man may deem, it's all in the name of Jesus. And that we be correct and we be corrected when it needs to be done, God, by you. And oh God, if we live in excellence, live up to your expectations, God, we can walk in expectation as well, oh Lord, of your salvation, of you keeping us. We can live in expectation of you covering us. We can live in expectation, oh God, of you saving our very souls. So this morning, Lord, we relinquish our lives to you. And we give you glory in the midst on this Sunday morning. We give you glory in the midst, oh God, in the midst of the Holy Spirit. We give you glory above and beyond our trials and our tribulations. We give you glory, oh God, while things are going well. And we give you glory, God, even when they're hard. We give you glory because you do that glory, God. You're due to be worshiped. You're due to be praised. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord, our God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy holy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not, O Lord, into temptation, but deliver us, please God. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. In your name we pray, and we say amen, amen, and amen. Worship, magnify, praise thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because you live, that's it. I can face tomorrow because you live. All my fears can be gone, even if some of them trying to linger and hold on, because I know, I know, I know, I know, God, You hold my future and my life. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it's feeling like, is worth the living just because you live. Lord God sent his son. I got to sing a little bit this morning. They called him Jesus. That's what the angel told Joseph to name him. He came to love. But this is why he came. Not just to love, to heal and forgive. He bled and he died. To buy my pardon for my sin and yours. And there's God. Hallelujah. There's an empty grave. There's an empty grave. There is an empty grave that's there to prove my Savior. He lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. Give God a praise up in here. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, I'm praising him where I am right here. Hallelujah. I'm giving him glory because I can face tomorrow because you live, God. Go ahead. Somebody about to give up. I can face tomorrow. Somebody got to face a court date tomorrow. But because he lives, all fear is gone. Oh, Jesus, somebody got to walk that last mile of the way, as we say it. Because I know you hold the future. I'm just giving him some glory this morning. And life is worth the living. Just come on, come on. Because you live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because he lives. Even if I die because he lives, you can face tomorrow. If you die because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. I don't care if I'm in a dire situation right now. Because he lives, I'm able to face whatever is coming next. Hallelujah. And the word says, give no thought to tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. He set you up for success already, daughter. Son, he set you up. Hallelujah. Glory to God this morning. You know, somewhere in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, there's a scripture that mentions that God will give you beauty for ashes. He'll turn those burnt things, those stains that have been burned out, burned down. He'll take and he'll turn those things around. Those things that have crushed you, he will turn them around. So let me tell you that the very things that have caused you to be distraught, those things that have caused you to want to run and not stop running, Lord God, there is some beauty. Even in ugliness, the beauty of ugliness, what is the sting that hovers over us? What is the sting that wants to bring us down? What is the sting that wants to latch on to me right now? Bishop, I hear you, Bishop Baker. Good God Almighty, get up off of me. Somebody better get up off of me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. The beauty of ugliness this morning. The beauty of ugliness. Because to everything there is a season. Ah, God. And to every purpose under the heaven. Go in Ecclesiastes 3 and read that. The beauty of ugliness this morning. Isaiah 61, beginning at that first verse, third verse through the third verses, we're going to start. We're going to go ahead and get in here. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, God, Jesus, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to thrive, and the day of vengeance of our God. Why? To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. My God, Lord, have mercy. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. Why? Because he has anointed me. Why? To proclaim good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the lost, to the unsaved. He has declared and decreed that the word of the Lord shall go out to bring them in, my God, to cause them not to be lost anymore, but to be found. He has sent us out, come on, God, to proclaim the year of his favor. Even in the midst of everything, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Provide. There's a lot of grieving. There's a lot of mourning, the crying, the deep from within. And all of the mourning that's taking place is not even about death. There's a heaviness of despair. Get up off of me. In the people, come on, push that thing up and push it out. Because it says, my God, in that third verse, he will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. That's that crying. That's that whole relenting. Oh, my God. Not joy that comes in the morning, and a garment of praise, hallelujah, so you can give him glory. Sunday morning glory, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So even when it's hard and it's heavy, even when it's coming for you, it's coming at you, even when you think you've been broken, he says, I'll give you a garment of praise. Instead of a spirit of despair, instead of you looking, oh my God, sorrowful and beat down because you had to bury a loved one, because you had to sell that house you in and move to a lesser, because you had to change some things in your environment, because some people have walked away, because those who you thought were on your side, those who stood with you and said, hey, I'm here, have gone, my God, instead of being in despair. He says, I give you, my God, a garment of praise. Put on the whole armor of God. You'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So when you put on that helmet of salvation, the praise will come up. Oh, God, Jesus, glory to God. Let's look at those next three verses. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. It has been devastated for generations. It has been torn down for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priest of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Let's go ahead and get the rest of those verses, Elder. Instead of your shame, we're going to look closely at the 7-9. Instead of your shame, it says what? You will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Not just temporary joy, glory to God. Why? For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. So for you wrongdoers, you robbers, in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants, not yours, you thieves and robbers, you convicts, oh my God, you slickers and slackers, their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Oh my God. Oh my God. Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Oh God. Oh my God. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh, y'all go ahead and get that praise out your spirit. Oh my God. Look at the seventh verse again. It says, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Ah, stay right there with me. Listen. Oh my God. Wow. Instead of shame. My God. Isaiah is speaking of his mission to lift and bless the house of Israel right here. But in their time, he was speaking to them. In our time, God is speaking to us still. Oh, these verses are here. This word is here to help us understand the mission of all of us who are called to represent Jesus the Christ, to represent the Savior, to go forward, oh God, and not go back, oh God, to keep moving. Hallelujah. Instead of your shame, you receive a double portion. You've already been through it. And instead of disgrace, come on with that garment of praise. In the midst of your mess, go ahead and praise. When your heart is heavy laden, I'm telling you, this is what will bring you up. Get down on that floor and waddle. Run around that house, oh my God. Holler and scream. They might think you're going crazy, but that garment of praise is on you. Release and let go in the name of Jesus. Listen, instead of your shame, you're going to receive a double portion. They may think you're going to go, oh God. They think you're down, but you're not out. Come on, God. Instead of disgrace, even if you messed up, he said, you come back to me, you will rejoice in the inheritance. Oh, my God, and receive a double portion, inherit it in your land. Because God is among the people. The beauty of ugliness this morning. This is the beauty of the things that are ugly to us, the things that don't look good to us, the things that don't feel good to us. We talk about ugliness. It's the quality of being unpleasant. Ugliness. We talk about ugliness. We look at something that's not pleasant, is not pleasing to our eye. We're not talking about a physical ugliness. Right now, we're talking about a spiritual ugliness. We're talking about that thing that affects our emotions, that thing that affects us on the inside and causes us to become ugly on the outside. The other quality of being unpleasant or repulsive in appearance. Oh my God, a mangled mess. A car that has collided with an 18-wheeler, what is left of it? Oh my God, the beauty of ugliness, that in the midst of drowning in it all, and you still see the hope of that beautiful rose, you still see that there is something that you can reach up for in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You may not have anything left but your hand to lift up. But while you're going down, lift your hand before the Lord. The beauty of ugliness, repulsing. Listen, what is more repulsive to God but our sin? The very things we do that are not of him, that do not connect us to him, are repulsing to him. That's ugliness. Beauty is what we find attractive. And so if the beauty, oh my God, Margaret, I can't remember her last name, said beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Therefore, I'm going to tell you, ugliness can be in that very same eye of the beholder. It's how you're looking at it, from what angle you're turning. Thank you, Lord. Such as dead or dried roses. Thank you, God. These have been dried out, but there's some beauty to them. Somebody might not want to go in the store and pick these up, but let me tell you, these were once beautiful red roses as you would see them. But they're beautiful to me because they were given to me by my husband many years ago and I dried them out. And I love the look that they have now because there's still some beauty attached to them. There is something attached to them that still warms me on the inside. A beauty, a combination of qualities, you see. The shape, the color, the form. Come on, look at this. That are pleasing to the aesthetic senses. Go ahead and show the whole thing. So we can take the very things that we have in front of us and we can look at them from different angles and we can cause these things to be, oh my God, more attractive to us by enhancing some things about the ugliness. My God, just to leave these lying on the table, someone would pick them up and throw them in the trash, but to add them into a vase, and to add some things that cause them to sparkle, to add some things to the ugliness. Come on to me. Thank you, Lord. Some things about what would change the image, the beauty of ugliness. You see, when we talk about things that are ugly, we talk about things that are heavy and downtrodden or disgraceful. But he says, I will give you beauty for ashes. Oh, my God. He says instead, oh, my God, of mourning, I'll give you the oil of joy. When you have something ugly, downtrodden, or disgraceful, you see, it can be given up for a spirit. Instead of a spirit of heaviness, God can give us a spirit of praise. The very burden of it has to be released, though, through beauty. You see, that very thing that's heavy and ugly has to come up through something light. Because to come out of the dark, you have to come into the what? Into light. And so the beauty of ugliness is this, that, oh my God, I don't care how deep and dark it is, there is something on the inside that's going to cause it to transform. Do you remember when you held your first baby, your first child? Even if you didn't birth that child, but you held that baby, the beauty of their innocence. And if you look back 40 years, you see the beauty, my God, hallelujah, of that lost soul now. If you could look back and see that drug addict when they first came out of their mother's womb and she held them close to her breast and she nurtured them, it was a beautiful baby boy or a beautiful baby girl. And so there is beauty even in the ugliness. The overwhelmed policeman who, at the beginning of his career, decided to take this oath to keep order, where every effort now is criticized. And though he is walking a straight beat, others around him may be jagged or crooked or struggling to do it the right way. And so the beauty of his office, of his shield, has been blemished. My God. But the beauty of the ugliness around him is that one officer who is still standing firm in what he knows, standing firm in what he knows to do and doing it according to the right way. The beauty of ugliness, the beauty in cancer and diabetes and sickness is that there is a healing power. No matter what it looks like, y'all, sounds like or feels like, there is always something good that can come up out of something ugly. The beauty of ugliness is this right here. I'm almost done. Is that when the ugliness no longer controls you, when the ugliness no longer comes out of your mouth, when the ugliness no longer controls your mindset, when the ugliness no longer exists, when the ugliness no longer causes you to become ugly like it is, that's the beauty of the ugliness, because it will cause you to rise up to a different old place. Because, oh my God, can you imagine that person that went under that water in that swamp? And all they could do was reach their hand up and they touched something. They bent their hand. And when they grabbed the hold of it and held it up, there was a rose. And that rose represents life. It represents life, that there is still life no matter how low you've gone. There is still life. And there is still a way up. And there is still a way out. The beauty of ugliness, come on down, is when it is no longer able to keep you from thriving. The beauty of ugliness is when God himself looks beyond all the ugly you are. Remember, ugliness is simply a quality of being unpleasant or repulsive in appearance. And remember, not the physical appearance, but the spiritual appearance, your character, who you are, who you were, who you want to be. But when God himself takes that ugly character, he is the potter, and you are the clay. When he takes that lump of clay and he begins to mold it, a lump of clay is just a lump of clay, is just a lump of clay. But he begins to take that ugly gray clay and begin to add some characteristics of beauty. He begins to mold it in his hands. He begins to add some color to it. He begins to add some vibrant life to it. He begins to, oh my God, cause it to come out looking like totally different from what it started as. The beauty of ugliness is when God looks beyond all the ugly we are, all the ugly we've been, all the ugly we want to be, all the havoc we've wreaked, all the ugly we bore, all the ugly we've carried. And he sees the beauty inside of us, which is our soul. Because all of the things that are ugly about us, our soul is what he's looking at. Our soul is what he's trying to save. Our soul is what's going to be redeemed. And he looks beyond all the other stuff that we've become. You see, when he caused us to be born, we were born for a purpose, and that was to worship and praise him. But we get off track because of lifing, as they say. But when he sees, he looks beyond what is there, he sees our very need, our every need, our most crucial need. He looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. Look at the beauty of ugliness. Look at the beauty of ugliness when your family was tore up, messed up. But God brought them together. Look at the beauty of ugliness. When that father walked away and left that child, but one day he comes back. Look at the beauty of ugliness. See, if we look at where there is something positive, everybody's situation won't be the same. Every outcome won't be the same. Every praise won't be the same. But guess what? Every option is the same because he provides for us who grieve. He bestows upon every one of us a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Don't you get down and under, baby. Come on up. And we will be called, like, oh, I miss that. Oaks of righteousness. You know what an oak tree is? Hard to move. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's the end of that third verse. They will be called. When you're able to sustain, you will be called oaks of righteousness. I mean, you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You shall not be moved. A planting of the Lord. You planted by God. When God plants you, he roots you. When his roots go down, they stay. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. He not planting you to put on a show. He not planting you to follow after. He's planting you for the display of his splendor. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works, even the works that come through you, even the works that come to you, even the ugly things that are now shining in beauty about you is for the display of his splendor, for his glory, for your glory. This Sunday morning, glory. I will do anything. Jesus, just to see you, to behold you as my King. This is why you got to do it. I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. You gotta have that relationship with God for your glory and look for the beauty of ugliness. Wow. Everything we thought we had to throw away, we didn't have to throw away. I will do anything, but we had to give up some things. We just got to rearrange some things. We got to use them for a different purpose. God, just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. You want to be where he is. Come on. I got to be where you are. Come on. Give your life. I want to be where you are. That's it this morning. I gotta be where you are. Come on, somebody. For your glory, if you're in your home right now, I just want you to pause and pray. I would do anything. Give it up. Give it up. Just to see you. If somebody's in your home right now, they're not saved. They're not sitting with you and they're not hearing this word. Go get them. Go get them. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. If it's you, you need to be with him. You need to connect with him. You need to be a part of the kingdom. You need to connect and you need to have Jesus Christ as your personal savior. My God, just to see you, to behold you as my King. We all want Jesus. We do. So we got to give the life. We got to live the life that he wants us to live. That's a part of it. I'm sorry. Wow, come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give God a praise. Come on.